God damn, 1994 sucked.
Oh, dude. Oh, this fucking movie, dude. I'm so pissed.
This and Clifford together?
What oh, my God. Fuck? Jesus Christ. No one deserved that. Nope, not even us. Not even us.
I thought like Hexed and Children of the Corn 3 were bad.
Those are child's play. Child's play.
Like, those movies, at least they left us with shit to talk about.
Well, you know what? What was, you know, interesting about those movies, too, is at least they had, like, I don't know, like, I didn't have as much contempt for them.
Because I was like, it was funny.
Yeah.
It was
hilarious. Yeah.
Like, that movie was so bad, they're funny. This is just bad.
It's just... Oh, my, the minute that girl, that Siobhan girl, starts fucking talking, I'm like, oh, my God, this is the worst acting I've ever witnessed in my fucking life.
All right, let's start the show.
Okay, let's go.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to I Hate Critics 1994. I'm professional film critic Sean Patrick. With me is Amy.
Hello.
She's opening a cigarette, I believe, now. Is that what you do? You open a cigarette?
Jesus. You open a cigarette? Like, you just you dissect it, and then you put it under your tongue for sublingual whatever.
Amy,
yeah, anyway.
Amy's actually an old-timey prospector who rolls the cigarette. She plants the tobacco in the front of the yard.
Yeah.
And then harvests it and rolls it after she grows paper.
My God. I mean, I wish I were that industrious. Because honestly, I'm literally just pulling shit out of the ground and smoking it, whatever I can find. That's all we're doing. So,
Amy, who's our sponsor?
Oh, we're sponsored by the Pontiac Fiero. Pontiac Fiero, you boy, I'm sad.
Pontiac Fiero, yes, your uncle drives one.
Aw, his name is probably Rudy.
Uncle Rudy's here.
Uncle
How do you
Rudy's
know?
Here.
I can hear his Fiero.
Oh. Is that White Snake on the tape deck going? Sure sounds like it.
Where do they keep finding that tape?
Oh, it's the same one every time. It's cursed. It's cursed like this fucking movie was cursed.
It's stuck in the tape deck. It's been there since 87.
Oh, my God. I would love that. That's hilarious. You know, that happened to me, right?
Yeah.
And then Alexa, being all tiny and little when she got into my car, she goes, oh, I can fix that. She popped my license in there and popped the tape right out.
Literal child showing you what to do.
She's like 9 years old. And I'm like, oh, you're gonna fence VCRs for a living later on, aren't you? I can just tell. You little goofball, you little goober.
You also had a great car that it was this tiny little green car, and for some reason you got the horn stuck.
Yeah.
And every time you turned right,
the horn would go off. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You know, it was a Dodge Plymouth Ford Chevy hybrid, and it had a go-kart steering wheel. It's fucking awesome, man. And the most expensive thing on that car was the tape deck, which had the face that would pop off on it.
The tape deck with the Creedence.
With the I don't like fucking CCR. God, no. I spent a lot of time driving around rich white neighborhoods playing NWA's tape from 92.
And making nothing but right turns.
Right turns. That's all I would do.
Neat.
They loved me. Oh, here comes Amy. Here comes that white trash millionaire. Right around the corner. Shit. God damn it.
That's 1994, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah. There you have it. You didn't even need to hear about the stupid fucking movie we had to sit through today.
Two of them.
Oh, God.
There are two movies to talk about, Amy.
I just feel like this is bone-breaking. This is hollowed out my insides, and I'm nothing but a husk. I am literally nothing but a husk.
I literally worry if we've chased MJ off the show with how bad movies from the 90s are.
You know what? I got to thinking about that. I'm like, we're not even that far into 2024.
They've already peaced out. They're like, yeah. I got things to do, guys. I'm
MJ's like, you know what? Fuck you guys. This sucks. I like being a Gen Zer in a Gen Z world. I don't want to live where you guys live. Get me out of the fucking past, you dumb cunts. Jesus.
Our childhood wasn't this bad, was it?
Oh, not as bad as the wine I just sipped.
Oh my God.
Like, no, I don't. It wasn't.
The first movie we watched was Clifford.
Fuck Clifford.
Starring Martin Short and Charles Grodin, two legit comedy legends.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, just Grodin being on Letterman is like comic gold, like the history of comedy gold.
100%.
Is just watching him on Letterman.
Absolutely.
And so how he and Martin Short ended up in this movie together, thinking, yeah, this is a great idea. I just don't understand it. I don't get what anybody thought. I'm reading about this. So Clifford, for those who don't know, if you're tuning in for the first time, Clifford is a movie in which Martin Short plays, he is 40 years old, by the way, at the time, 37, I guess. So they put this movie on the shelf for 4 years.
Well, I thought it took him 4 years to make it.
He was 37 years old when he made it, and he starred as a 10-year-old boy. The most irritating 10-year-old boy in existence.
So you can imagine how believable that was. Right, right.
And I'm reading about this, like the making of this movie on like IMDb, and they're like, well, you know, this movie was written for an actual 10-year-old, and then somebody gave it to Martin Short, and he's like, I could play that.
No. Somebody like, didn't. What? He needed a hug that year.
Like, literally, the whole plot is just him tormenting people as a 10-year-old. He just torments people. But what plot there is? Because, like, I was going to go into a little bit of a plot description, and there isn't a plot for this movie. It's just him just being a miscreant the entire time.
I think for, and especially for you and I, who hate movies like this, because we've seen our fair share of bad kids doing bullshit stunts and whatever. But I think for you and I, the way that you and I kept looking at each other in utter disbelief, like just the fact that it even got released, like who greenlit this?
The original screenwriters, like they quit after seeing the movie.
Are you serious?
Like, don't even put our names on this.
Oh shit.
They both went with the just alternate names in the credits because they didn't want to be associated with it. The original director was like, you're bringing in Martin Short. he couldn't fathom it. So he left. Martin Short had to literally get one of his SCTV friends to direct the movie. Paul Flaherty worked as a writer on SCTV alongside his brother, who was an actual, you know, Joe, the late, recently late Joe Flaherty.
Late, great Paul Flaherty.
Yeah. They were all on SCTV together, so he got Paul Flaherty to direct the movie because the original director is like, "This is ridiculous. You're not a 10-year-old boy."
I think he hated Paul Flaherty. I think he wanted to see him go down. I said, "You know what? You do it. You do it." Oh, can we also talk about too? Like, I just need to talk about this casting real quick because I don't know about you, but as a Gen Xer, growing up, when we were little, like very little, all the way up through, you know, into our teen years, I don't think I ever saw Charles Grodin and Dabney Coleman in the same movie. And when I was a little kid, I used to mix their names up. And because, you know, they just, for some reason, they seemed kind of synonymous with that white man in every 80s movie kind of thing. For me, at least. Mm-hmm. But it's such a shame because, again, both are excellent actors, just excellent actors. There's not a bad actor. I mean, I can't stand Richard Kind, but there's not a bad actor in this bunch whatsoever. But they managed to make I think one of the biggest insults to film in 1994 with Clifford.
It's astonishing.
Oh my God.
They thought that Martin Short was going to pass as a 10-year-old.
Did they really think that, or did they think, oh, this
Martin
kind
Short
of funny?
Literally said he wouldn't do the movie unless he thought he could pass as a 10-year-old boy.
That's just utter bullshit. And I fucking love
they
Martin
did a
Short.
Test screening. This is maybe IMDb is just full of shit, but I mean everybody who likes this movie defends this for some reason.
Yeah, because it's got a cult following.
Like Martin Short still defends this. Charles Grodin still defends this, or defended this until he passed away. Like my thing with Grodin, by the way, I used to mix him and Albert Brooks. That was my thing. I would just displace the two of them when I was younger. Not anymore, because right. Brooks is a fucking genius. And one of my favorite filmmakers now. But like I'm talking like when I was like 18, like right. About this time,
yeah,
about
yeah.
The time that the movie came out. So I used to mix them up for a while back in the day. But they defended this. They were like happy with what they were doing, and thinking that Martin Short was actually passing for 10 years old. And I just don't understand. I thought, because it makes more sense if this is just a piss take, right? Yeah. Doesn't it make sense if this is just like the joke is that he's an adult playing a 10-year-old boy? Like that's the joke?
Like a Hollywood satire. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I thought like the comic brilliance of this movie was like the idea that Martin Short is this malevolent 10-year-old. Like that's the joke. But no, they're like, no, Martin passes as a 10-year-old. And we shot this in a way like Grodin and Mary Steenburgen and Dabney Coleman are standing on like boxes when they're in scenes with him. So he looks smaller. And they like had to use innovative production design to like, you know, create like a larger bed and like a larger chairs for him to sit in. So it would look like he was, then they're using forced perspective to try and, you know, like they're having to go to extraordinary lengths filmically to make this, you look like he's a tiny boy. And, you know, for me, I didn't even think twice about it because Martin Short's genuinely short.
Yeah.
He's not a big guy. So I didn't even think twice about it, honestly.
Oh, my God.
But there is nothing funny that happens in this movie. Like, if this is intended as anti-comedy, he doesn't make it. Because anti-comedy, I think I understand. Like, I've watched Tim Heidecker do anti-comedy.
Yes.
and the joke is very, very, it's relatively obvious and quite funny when he does it.
Right,
when he's,
right.
Like, telling you jokes that are legitimately unfunny.
Yes. But that's
joke
how you do
is
it.
Not, the joke is like on you as an audience member who finds this material funny, or it's on the people who like make jokes like this. Like his entire stand-up set is basically just a riff on conservative comedy. Tim Heidecker did an entire hour of stand-up just doing this like really shitty conservative comedy material.
Oh, it's brilliant!
And the joke is either you're dumb enough to think that's funny, or you're the kind of person who makes this comedy.
it's brilliant. Like that's, but see, that's the opposite of this. I want to mention something here because I was just reading about the alternate versions of this.
There are alternate versions.
Yeah, so it aired on Comedy Central and later on the fucking Disney Channel. Five scenes deleted from the final cut are restored and also to edit out questionable content. The whole fucking movie was questionable content. The first one has Clifford and his parents forced off a plane when Clifford makes it land in Los Angeles, which that in and of itself, that opening fucking scene, I
oh, so fucking irritating. So Martin Short and his family, Richard Kind and his wife, play his parents. They're on a plane and they get kicked off because he wants to go to Los Angeles instead of going to Hawaii, and he gets the plane like stopped in Los Angeles by like fucking up the pilot.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they had to edit, at first they edited that out. The second one, no. Oh yeah. The second one was Clifford in the airport pretending to be poor, a poor deaf boy, and many passersby are seen donating gifts to him. And he ends up taking a bunch of people's stuff.
Well, the version we watched didn't even have the setup for that joke.
Nope, we didn't understand any of it.
There's like they cut to a scene of a group of extras talking about, hey, where's my shit? And then suddenly we cut to like he's stolen a dog and like a surfboard.
Shit
he's not going to be able to use. And Charles Grodin's like, that's your stuff? Why'd you bring so much stuff, kid?
Well, and remember, all of this is because he wants to go to that dumb fucking
playland,
dinosaur world. and he doesn't get his way. And instead of like being like almost cute and precocious, which again, the 90s was just rife with those fucking films. He just was an old man in a small body, annoying the piss out of you for 83 minutes. And I love you, Martin Short. My God, I love you. I have never hated an actor in a role as much as I did. I dreamt about him that night, and all I wanted to do is just say, why'd you do that? Why? That you just like, it was just like a dick slap in my face for like 83 minutes.
It's never funny.
It's never once funny.
The things that he does to Charles Grodin, like Charles Grodin's like trying to be nice to him. So like Charles Grodin is an asshole character. He's basically only happy to have his nephew in Los Angeles just because at the same time, just by chance, it happens to be that his girlfriend, Mary Steenburgen, says that he's not good with kids and doesn't seem like he wants kids. And she does. So she's like, I can't be with you if you don't want kids. Right. So he has to prove that he wants kids. And it just so happens that his nephew just happens to drop in L.A. that weekend. So he picks up the kid, takes it immediately to Mary Steenburgen and says, hey, look, I got my nephew's here and I love kids. And then, of course, Martin Short just starts just shitting on him, just like ruining his life. He gets him fired from his job. He gets him arrested for a bomb threat. He breaks up him and Mary Steenburgen.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's the other thing, too, is that he's into Mary Steenburgen's character, which is a needless
plot point. I don't even want to know what they cut out of that subplot.
Oh, can you imagine? They probably made out, you know.
The funniest thing in this movie is Dabney Coleman's hair.
Oh, Jesus Christ, it is.
All apologies to Jeff, our co-host Jeff on the other show. He loves 9 to 5. I've not seen Dabney Coleman be good in a movie, I don't think. I'm trying to think of something I've liked Dabney Coleman in. He was in Meet the Applegates, which is in my book, going to be in my book, Horror in the 90s. He plays a cockroach turned into a person who is a woman with a mustache.
Oh.
And it's just not funny at all.
That sounds like a Yorgos movie.
Funny.
Did Yorgos make that movie?
He did not. Meet the Applegates is weird, but it's not Yorgos weird.
That is a good thing. I agree.
I'm trying to think of something I liked him in. Not, I can't think of a goddamn thing I've enjoyed seeing Dabney Coleman in.
See, he always plays
this uptight asshole creep in every movie.
That's why he was like, perfect in 9 to 5. He was perfect.
He is cast to try and rape somebody. That is what he's cast for.
Yeah. You know what? I think he got roles because he had the name Dabney Coleman. It just kind of says to you that, you know, white man in film, uptight white man, rich white man. I don't know. I think he's a fantastic actor. There's lots of stuff that I think about him. He was in a few TV shows when we were in high school that I quite
was
liked.
Was he good on those? Because I've not seen him be good in anything else that I can remember.
Like, he was likable.
If he was good in something else, I can't remember it because I hate him so much and everything. I hate him in this movie, aside from his stupid ponytail. That's the only good joke in the movie. So he's a guy who has like this very obvious rug that he's wearing on his head.
Yeah.
And like Martin Short like points it out and then takes it off his head at one point. So he's got to replace it with one that has a fucking ponytail on it.
That was a good gag. to be honest though too, and I think I pointed this out when we were watching it. There were some gags with Martin Short, the physical gags, the physical comedy that I did kind of snicker at because I'm like, that works. But that reminded me of shit that he would do on SCTV. That would remind me of just kind of the randomness, you know, when he gets like, what, tomatoes thrown at him in the beginning? Like there's a
needless framing device where he's playing this elderly priest at a orphanage. And there's a kid played by Ben Savage who's like wanting to run away, and he's like counseling him about. So he starts talking to him about when he was a kid, and telling him the story of, you know, Clifford the movie, essentially is what he tells him. And
yeah,
I guess that ends up convincing the kid not to run away. All it would make me do is run fucking further from this fucking movie. But
he doesn't
tell him anything about how he was, like, if he was redeemed in any way. Like, there's no attempt to redeem him. He doesn't do anything nice or kind. In fact, the movie tries to, the movie nearly ends on Charles Grodin trying to kill him.
Yeah.
He's trying to murder this supposed 10-year-old boy at Dinosaur World.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, architects, if you didn't know this, you can just go into the places that you design anytime you want to, any time of day, by yourself. If you're the guy who designed Dodger Stadium, you can just walk right in anytime you want.
I mean, like, if that was the case, I would have become an architect, you know?
I designed the Casey's in Eldridge. I can just walk in there anytime I want now.
Well,
I
technically, you could, but I mean, you can't just walk back and make your own pizza, you know?
Why not? I'm the architect.
You are the architect, yeah.
I'm the architect. I'm going to walk into the McDonald's I designed and just start making fries.
Would he know how to use all the levers and everything? Like, I guess that would be the question, too. It's like,
don't know.
And I don't know really what the end game was, because he was so sick and tired of Clifford. We all were. I wanted him to fall to his death.
He wanted to torture him, and then he almost ends up killing him when the thing, like, goes to pieces.
And the ride wasn't even that cool.
And I guess this teaches Clifford to not be a terrible person anymore because his uncle almost murdered him.
That wasn't a good wrap up. No. No. That was apparently
the, everything I read about this movie, though, like, they had the best time on set. Like, everybody, like, Martin Short was just cracking up everybody, except for Charles Grodin, who remained in character.
In character.
Fully in character the entire time. Never broke. One time. Richard Kind broke 100 times in just the one scene that he's in.
Which I don't think that's hard.
They had to tell Martin Short to stop making Richard laugh.
I wish we had that much fun watching it.
I wish we had any fun watching this. And,
I mean, we didn't even smile at each other during this movie. Like, no, we just kept looking over at each other like, is this happening to us?
Because I was poisoned about this movie, because one of my favorite writers is, like, a big fan of this movie. And I'm like, what is it that you see in this that's funny?
Is that Nathan Rabin?
Yeah, Rabin wrote a great review of this movie. And there are a lot of defenders of this movie who, like, talk about the hidden genius of Clifford. And I'm like, where is it? Where is this hidden genius at?
Wow.
It's so hidden, well, I can't find it.
One of my favorite YouTubers goes by the name of Fat Zajac, and she adores Martin Short. And that has always been a question that I've been meaning to, like, send in the question and answer area. I just want to ask her, did you actually like Clifford? Please tell me you didn't, because I love you and I respect you. And I don't want to lose that, because I don't fucking understand.
I don't see what anybody sees in it. It's such a miserable film. Mm. He's such a miserable character.
It's like the movie hates itself, too. Like,
he doesn't seem to be having fun doing what he's doing.
No, no.
There's no sense to, like, that he's doing this because it makes him happy. Nothing seems to make him happy other than the stupid little dinosaur he carries everywhere.
Well, that's the thing. Like, everybody in this film is so soulless. You know, like,
Mary Steenburgen is trying. Like, she's actually acting in the movie.
Okay, but she's gorgeous and wonderful, and we love her. But, I mean, it's not fair to her that she had to sit through this fucking piece of tripe. I mean, and she did. She acted the hell out of her part. She got paid. She went home. You know what I mean? I mean, good on her. But to me, it's like, this is not the movie that if I met her, I would say, oh, my God, Mary, fucking Clifford, you know, changed my life.
Clifford in book club. That's why I love you.
Oh, yeah, right. 100%.
So there's a couple of weird things about the cult surrounding this movie that I have to tell you about.
Okay.
So one of Mary Steenburgen's closest friends at the time she made this was Elizabeth Taylor. And Elizabeth Taylor loved Clifford.
Wow. Oh, Liz.
Mary Steenburgen said that Elizabeth Taylor absolutely loved this movie.
Was she sundowning?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, come on.
Okay.
Let's be, you know what? You always say that about my dog.
It's not funny.
Let's move along. It hurts my feelings. But I don't care who you are. I mean, even our mother who loved The Butcher's Wife hated this fucking movie. Come on.
But then there's this story that Martin Short likes to tell about being on a plane with Nicolas Cage. And, like, Nicolas Cage, like, gets Martin Short, like, next to him. And he's like, I've got to tell you, I love Clifford. And goes on about scenes that he loves.
Okay, here's the thing about that, though. Nicolas Cage is so fucking weird. Like, that's not shocking. Like, everything he does is, everything he likes, everything he touches is Nicolas Cage weird.
He's got Clifford's outfit from the opening scene, like, hanging on his wall somewhere.
He fucking would. And do you know what? I love him for that, though. I adore him for being that fucking weird. But
so, like, there's this story, like, there's a scene in the movie where, like, Charles Grodin is supposed to give a speech about it's at the celebration for his and Mary Steenburgen's engagement, and Mary Steenburgen's parents are there. They hate Charles Grodin.
They hate him.
Hate him for no good reason. They just fucking hate him. There's no explanation why. They just hate him. So Clifford just sets about to just destroy him. He just pours tobacco in his drink, just tobacco sauce, just all in his drink. The drink is literally just Tabasco sauce.
Oh, Tabasco sauce. Oh my God. I didn't even remember that until you just said that.
and so it just destroys Charles Grodin and just he throws up and like spills everything and falls over and looks like an asshole. So like Charles Grodin takes Clifford into the kitchen to yell at him. And that's all that happens is that he yells at him and Clifford just looks up at him smiling and tries to pretend he didn't do it. And Nicolas Cage was like telling Martin Short that this is the funniest thing he's ever seen. What was funny, Nick? What the fuck was funny? There was nothing funny happening.
Charles Grodin hit him with a baguette.
I'm sorry, what?
See, now you're laughing.
Laughing because you just said, because I don't remember that.
Well, there's all those baguettes sitting in like that vase in the kitchen, and Charles Grodin grabs it.
Did I look away when he hit him with the baguette? I didn't see the baguette.
I remember unless I was having a fever dream, which could have been. I have COVID, so I'm pretty sure that's probably when it started. Was right then. The movie gave me COVID.
This movie gives you COVID. That's a fact.
That's a fact. It's true. I haven't been the same since. So,
what the fuck was this movie though?
It hurts that you know, especially film studios in the 90s. I feel like they take greater care of the audience now. But back then, they hated all of us. They hated anyone that wanted to see a movie.
It feels like that.
Disdain. Yeah.
In year two of this podcast, we've not seen a good movie.
No. I mean, aside from Dave.
No, you know, Dave. Dave is a good movie.
It just
feels like we're drowning in like just garbage fucking movie.
Just pure mediocrity. Pure mediocrity. Oh, it's funny too. I was watching, I've been watching a lot of Trixie Mattel and Katya, which I just love them. And Trixie Mattel brought up, was to talk about the 90s and how, you know, because they're talking about Tu Wong Fu. And I'm like, oh, I fucking love that movie. God, I want to watch that again. So Trixie was watching it and Trixie's like, and then, you know, she's like, but this was the time of where, you know, you saw a lot of drag. And he goes, and then, you know, fucking Mrs. Doubtfire, that fucking movie.
Yes.
There's all sorts of fucking problems with that. And I'm like, oh, thank God Trixie hates that movie too. Thank God. Because, I mean, there's good drag, which Tu Wong Fu definitely was. And then there's bad drag, which is Mrs. Doubtfire. And this is like bad kid drag.
If you can take one thing away from this show is that Mrs. Doubtfire is a garbage fucking movie.
Garbage fucking movie. And if you like it,
and the remains of the day never ends.
It's still on in my room right now. I just looked in there.
Anthony Hopkins is still sipping tea.
He's still sipping tea. His dad just fell over again out in the garden. There it is. I just keep looking in there. There it is. Just end. God. That fucking movie.
I would rather watch Leprechaun 2 than watch the fucking remains of the day.
Wow. You know what? I actually agree with you on that. And I fucking hated Leprechaun 2.
And that's as people who just watched Leprechaun 2. So it says a lot. It says a lot.
It does.
Leprechaun 2 pretty much ignores the ending of the first. No, he doesn't die. The leprechaun doesn't die at the end of the first one.
I thought they put him in a box and then left him in a basement.
No, that's how he was initially captured.
Oh.
At the start of the movie, he gets out of that. The first one ends with him getting dynamited down the well.
Oh, right.
But he's not dead. He like laughs and they do like a sequel tease.
I tried to look for the Spanish version of this one too, just to see if I could start it that way, like we did the first one.
Verisimilitude.
Yeah, 100%. You know, but it was also funny, like the minute it started and then you see like, you know, the letters come up, it says Ireland. And I'm like, this is not Ireland. I can tell you that right now. And two, I want to ask little Robbie Sheehan, I want to say, do you hate us because of this movie or this franchise? And I feel like he would say yes. I feel like he would.
So the premise of the film is that on his 1,000th birthday, the leprechaun can take a bride. And he's going to take a bride, but he makes the mistake of telling a guy how it's going to happen, and then revealing that it's the guy's daughter that he's going to take as his bride. And the bizarre premise that they come up with is that if she sneezes 3 times and no one says God bless you, and the third one, then the woman belongs to him. They're married.
Then that means I've been married to the leprechaun several times. Many, many times.
Because everyone just looks at you and goes, Gesundheit!
Yeah. No, people don't even, like, they don't even care. Like, oh, she's sneezing. You know. She's not conventionally attractive. Let's just see if she sneezes and marries a leprechaun, I guess.
How did Seinfeld's thing not carry on? How did that thing not catch on? Seinfeld's thing when you sneeze is the best. You're so good looking.
Holy shit, I forgot about that too until you said that. Wow. Oh, that takes me way back.
We needed to find an actual good joke to go into somewhere here in the movies we're talking about.
Well, okay, just another, there's so many pet peeves, this fucking movie. But, you know, your lead actress, her name is Siobhan Durkin.
Mm-hmm.
And for one, Siobhan is an Irish name, but they Americanized the spelling of it, which really pissed me off, And then she comes on, this girl acts through smiles, even when she's angry. She's just like, oh, hey, Cody. Cody, what a great actor you are, Cody. And everything she says, the only good acting I saw out of her was when the leprechaun actually kind of inhabits her for a minute to entice that guy to come in and put his head in those blades. And she's like, you know, but here's the thing. She was dead behind the eyes and she just took her tits out. And I'm like, that's the best acting she's going to do in this film right there. Her
not
tits
her
had
tits.
Better acting. Yeah.
Not her tits.
Oh, not her tits?
Those are fake tits.
Well, those tits were better actors than her. I believe those tits. I really did.
You're not wrong about the name, though. That's very funny that you point that out. That's the name that, like, that's like somebody who wants to name their kid an Irish name but has never been to Ireland.
100%.
They've heard the name Siobhan and is like, okay, so that must be Shovonne, then, right? Yeah. Don't look it up. Don't look it up. That's definitely what it is. Amy, do you want to reveal to people how Irish people spell Siobhan?
Well, it's when I was a kid and I loved SNL so much, the reason I knew it was because of Siobhan Fahey. And so it's S-I-O, I think it's S-I-O-B-H-A-N. Yeah.
So that is Siobhan from Ireland.
Yeah. That's how you're supposed to spell it. And when you spell it any other way, you're a fucking liar. God damn.
I had a weird disconnect with Siobhan, by the way, from SNL, because she is the mom in the movie. Oh God, what is that character? That awful YouTube character.
Miranda?
No. Fuck, one of the early ones. He had the high voice.
Oh shit.
He was from the early internet from 2005. He was like one of the first stars.
Oh no,
Lucas. No, what? Crookshank.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, fucking Fred.
Fred, yeah.
Yes.
So he played Fred's mom on the Nickelodeon TV show and in the Fred movies. And yeah. I'm watching it. I know exactly who she is, but I've watched like videos about the making of him, and like the guy doing the report just has no idea who she is.
That's right. I got my Siobhan's wrong because I was talking about Siobhan Fallon. Siobhan Fahey wasn't she in Bananarama?
Oh, I don't know.
I think or Shakespeare's Sister, one of the two.
Yeah.
Or maybe both. I thought she got the
end of the name wrong. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So Fallon is the one that I'm thinking of, but Fahey, fantastic voice on that woman, by the way.
And of course we're probably wrong about all of it, but I mean
I'm right about everything because I'm looking it up. When you have Siobhan you just go with it. But at least you can say Siobhan, right? You fucking idiot.
Okay, back to this idiotic movie. The leprechaun fails. He actually he does that stupid villain thing of telling somebody what your plan is, and then as he's about to execute the plan, she sneezes for the third time, and the guy shouts from the bushes, "God bless you," to save her. And prevents him from getting married. So he has to wait another 1,000 years, which is the length of the credits for this movie. It's about 1,000 years long.
Wow. And he doesn't look a day over 999, though. I mean, he looks so young.
So on his 2,000th birthday in 1994, he goes into L.A. looking for his new bride, and he finds the same girl 1,000 years later.
That's not how that works.
Essentially recreated. This woman just looks exactly like the one from 1,000 years ago because it's the same actress. But we're introduced then to Cody, who I guess his job is to hustle on the street so that this old guy who knows about Hollywood deaths can like drive people around and narrate where like Jane Mansfield died.
Yeah, that's respectful. I love that.
Well, I mean, I get it. Hollywood horror tour, like, I get that. That I think that's actually a thing, and I think I would actually go on one of those. Honestly, if I'm being honest, I would totally do that.
You're really fucking weird.
I love true crime. I'm fascinated by Hollywood death stories. That's just what I am. I'm gonna own that.
Okay, but like the whole Jane Mansfield thing, that I can't.
Why? Because she was beheaded?
Just listen to Da Vinci's Kiss Them for Me. Then you get the whole story, and then you can go to bed. I always feel bad for like Mariska Hargitay going, yeah, everybody knows about how my mom lost her head. Like, that's horrible for somebody to have to hear about.
Yeah.
It just makes me sad. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Nevertheless, as a tourist, that actually would be kind of fun if it weren't this like fucking drunk asshole who doesn't know anything driving you everywhere.
He was actually my favorite character in this movie.
He is the best character in this movie. There is no denying that. He is like an old-timey character actor who's been in 1,000 different things. Irv, is it? No, what's his name?
I wanted to say Uncle Monty, but that's what Dale and I. It's Uncle Morty. No,
Morty. Yeah,
Morty. Morty.
He's a lot of fun. He's a fun character. He's putting all of his effort into the movie. Like he's trying. Like there's a level of effort to his performance that I appreciate. Sandy Baron as Morty.
Yeah.
He's so drunk that he can't drive that night. He just is so wasted.
I really like him.
and so, like, he forces Cody to have to take the tour instead of him. The tour, which will include Amy's favorite actor, Clint Howard.
Oh, God, why is he in every fucking movie?
I don't understand the Clint Howard hate. Why do you hate Clint Howard so much?
I don't hate him. I think he's a fine actor. I don't think I should have to look at him all the time. I feel like he's always there. He's in my nightmares. I don't appreciate him looking at me. I don't know. He's a fine actor. He just terrifies the shit out of me. He just does. That's it.
Whatever reason, they've got Clint Howard in this movie, and he's there for a few minutes, and then he's gone, and it's over with, and he's not in the movie anymore, and that was really pointless.
I'm guessing him and Warwick Davis were probably good friends.
Maybe.
And Warwick's like, you want to come be in a movie? And he's like, oh.
That's how Tony Cox ended up in the movie. So
that's
seriously, him and Warwick Davis worked on Ewoks together. They worked together in Willow as well. Like they're good friends.
Warwick Davis, I have to say, the first Leprechaun, it was a little bit different. I found him more menacing in the first one. In this one, did you ever watch the Cody Cove episode where Cody was talking about the person who Goblin Core and this guy who would just go around his house and just go, I'll be having that. And he'd just, just taking whatever he can. It's one of my favorites. But every time Warwick talked in this movie, I kept thinking of, I'll be having that. That's how he sounded. He sounded like that throughout the entire fucking movie. And not like that, but here's Uncle Morty. He had a billion chances to kill him. A billion. And yet but Morty still get, I think that's why I liked him, because he just kept living. He just kept going. I'm already dead inside. You can't kill me, I mean.
When a tiny little guy whacks you over the head with something, it's not going to kill you. It's just not. He's just got a little tiny club and just whapping people over the head with it. That's not going to be enough to kill most people.
He's little buddy foo-foo. He's just bopping you on the head.
He's not really putting a lot of force behind these hits. That's all I'm saying. He's just not. You just watch him throw the blow. It's not a very difficult, hard blow.
He's better at enchanting people than he is about
yeah.
I mean, come on, you have all this power to kill people. You can hang somebody in midair and then just choke them or crack their neck and they'll drop dead. But then it comes to I can't even, And then not like that, they get so drunk on what I believe is Malort. And he's so fucking drunk. And I'm like, come on, you're a fucking leprechaun. If you have any sort of Irish in you, that's not going to kill you. That's not going to stop you from lifting that ashtray to come over and hit somebody in the head.
It stops him for 10 minutes. Then he goes and has a nap and then kills Michael McDonald.
That's true. Not Michael McDonald, but
Matt TV's,
and I love seeing him in this, and I was so happy. But man, he definitely got killed.
A better actor than anybody in this movie.
100%.
He fully admits to that cunty waiter.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But again, it's weird how a movie like this can have those little very, very brief shining moments.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. And then Uncle Morty was a good portion of it. But weird, man,
I have to tell you this about Morty. He wrote a song in 1971 for Lou Rawls.
Oh, he did?
Called A Natural Man.
Oh, no,
and I'm not saying it's a response record to A Natural Woman. I'm not saying that. I don't know. I do know that the song is called A Natural Man. It's written by Sandy Baron and sung by Lou Rawls. And that's just one of the weirdest fucking details that now has to be in your head forever. Congratulations. Well, that just pushed something out of your brain.
Listen, there was a time when someone told you to do something, you did it. Bam. Right on. No questions asked. It was yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You never said no, things are changing nowadays. It's a new day, baby. Folks want to take their own lives in their hands and make their own choices. No longer do they want to go along with the program because everybody says it's right. You know what I mean? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I just want to be happy and free, living and loving for me. I want to be happy and free like a natural man. A natural man.
Wait a minute. Are you looking for the lyrics of this song?
I just recited them to you, did I
not? What the fuck? How did you get those so fast?
So a thing called the internet. Now, the internet started. We're not doing that because Fuzzy's not here. you might know the internet from such films as The Net.
That might be an actual Hartman bit from
that might be. If it's not, it should have been, damn it. Oh God. Yeah.
I got a tangent. When I know this video is fuck, but I just happened to catch it again last night, just in my rotation of things that I put on one, alphabetizing my DVD collection, which I did yesterday.
What's your
heart? Billy Idol's Todd in the Shadows did a video on Billy Idol's 1990 record, 1994, three. I'm not sure what it was. It was in mid early 90s. Billy put out a record called Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was
that.
All about like being a hacker in the future, like William Gibson, even though he never read William Gibson. He's like putting references to like William Gibson and Neuromancer into his songs, and William Gibson's like, "You've never read my stuff. Clearly, I'm listening to this shit. Sounds nothing like anything I've ever written. What are you talking about?"
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, Billy, I don't, yeah. Could you imagine, like, if that had happened during the time of the actual internet? That would be
shit.
Like the scene from Annie Hall where, like, Woody Allen pulls Marshall McLuhan into line and has him correct the guy in front of him. Just William Gibson listening to your record going, "You've never listened to my, you've never read Neuromancer."
Aww. That's, you know, it's a shame though, because I mean, I really like Billy Idol. I really do.
Actually,
I didn't think I did.
Actually, one of those things actually just happened on the internet the other day. This woman posted a TikTok of herself playing the bagpipes to Metallica. Like, she was playing a Metallica song on the bagpipes, and like, so some internet bro chimes in and goes, "Oh, you're just disrespecting Metallica. They would hate this." And Metallica literally comes in the chat and goes, "Actually, we love this. You're great. This is fantastic. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about."
There's a woman that plays it's electro harp, and she does metal songs, and she's done Metallica, and it's fucking awesome. It's brilliant. I love that. I love that when people are so precious about their bullshit. You know what I mean? And then somebody, the band actually comes in and goes, "No, actually, we fucking love it."
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Woody Allen might be a piece of shit, but that fucking moment in Annie Hall is a moment we've all dreamed of.
Yes, 100%.
You know nothing of my work.
Which later became a meme before it was a meme.
God, so true. So true. Man, that's like a caveman meme today.
It really is.
That was the kind of meme that like you repeated to people in, you had to repeat it to people in person.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. You know nothing of my work. I remember one of the best usages of that was a Family Guy episode, and I can't remember what it was, but it cracked me up so fucking hard. God damn it. Oh, yeah.
That's so good. Oh my God.
So Leprechaun 2 sucked.
Oh, so bad. The guy who played Cody, what the fuck? That guy is
Charlie
so...
Heath.
No wonder he never worked again, man, because that guy is not a leading man.
Well, no. I mean, he had the hair for it, though. He definitely had the 90s man
hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's just like whiny and like, "Let's go find, hey, let's go get her back. We got to go get her back." Every line, "We got to go save her. We got to go save her. We got to save Bridget."
Did you watch Hobgoblins?
No.
Okay, because you.
Oh, wait,
you
I've
do
only
need
seen MST
watch.
Do it. I've seen
MST.
Well,
that's fine.
Yeah, that's the only way to see it.
That's what you need to. Okay, so, and Riff Trax did it again later on, which was great too. But the original Hobgoblins that MST did, that his character reminded me of Kevin, the character in Hobgoblin. He's just the weakest piece of shit in the world. And that's, you're right. All he did was whine. And in Hobgoblins, he wanted to date this. He was dating this girl named Amy. And she's like, "Amy, you know, I just want to have sex." And she's like, "Sex is not for us. You know, we're going to save ourselves till marriage." And it is the same kind of acting energy in Leprechaun 2. The exact same
kind. Look at it now. When you think back on it, what did Cody ever do but try and get Morty to help him? Like,
that's it.
Everything is like waiting for Morty to actually fucking do something.
It should have been called Waiting for Morty. Waiting for Morty. Leprechaun 2 Waiting for Morty. Like, that would have been perfect.
We've got to save Bridget, because like the Leprechaun has taken Bridget. And and like she sneezed three times. He stopped Cody from saying "God bless you." And like that's then he disappears her. And it's like there's no way now he knows how to find, you know, where the leprechaun went. So just by chance, he happens to get his hand on one of the leprechaun's gold coins, and the leprechaun has to get the gold coin back because it's the leprechaun. That's his thing. He's got to have all of his gold coins.
Yeah.
So when he realizes he doesn't have the coin, he has to go find Cody to get it back, and then he kind of just basically leads to his own doom by leading Cody directly to him. But not before Cody just ineffectually just keeps going, "We have to save Bridget. talking to Morty. We got to save Bridget. We got to save Bridget. Every fucking line is we got to save Bridget. And Morty's like, dude, I got a plan. Don't worry about it. I got a plan. It's cool. I'm going to get him super drunk. And then we're going to catch him into a, like a, we're going to get him inside of this, what is it? It's the big metal thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What is it?
That big metal thing. I don't remember. That was like, that
safe.
Was 30
it's
minutes.
A safe.
Oh, there it is.
It's a giant safe. They're going to get him inside of a giant safe. We've neglected the best, the only good scene in this movie. The only good scene in this movie. And that is the early, the first, the one great scene in this movie. Where's the name of the guy? Ian? Is it Ian was the guy?
Yeah. Ian.
All right. So Ian gives Bridget a ride home after she's kind of not broken up with Cody, but kind of broken up with him.
Yeah, I didn't get that at all, but go ahead.
Ian then tries to kiss Bridget. She says no. She goes in her house. Ian calls her a bitch and a tease.
Oh, he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. Then suddenly she's in the garage and like calling to him and like telling that she changed her mind. And she's like totally not acting like Bridget. But right. He buys into it anyway. And it turns out the leprechaun is just there. Like off screen, he's chosen Bridget as his bride. We don't get to see that.
Yeah.
he's just I guess he's part of the bloodline of the original woman that he tried to take as his bride. So I guess that's why he ends up there. So I guess it does kind of make sense. I'll explain. There's a whole thing going on that explains some of this. But Ian goes into the garage to see her and to follow her. And she takes off her shirt and shows there's boobs. Not Siobhan's boobs. They're
Siobhan's boobs.
They got stunt boobs to fill in for Siobhan.
You know what? I would have been hired for that. Why didn't I ever go to Hollywood?
You were 17. Actually, they would have hired you, actually.
They would have hired me. I would have been in a YC film. God damn it. Anyway.
So it turns out like it's not her, obviously. It's an image being put forward by the leprechaun. It's being broadcast into Ian's head. And it turns out the leprechaun has stood a lawnmower on its end and like has the blades going where her boobs are. And he starts to go kiss her boobs and just cuts his own face off. Best scene in the movie.
He motorboated a lawnmower.
Motorboating a lawnmower, the subtitle of this episode.
That's it.
It's like working with Jeff. Every time I think I don't know how it happens, Jeff just comes up with something that's just fucking insane, and then it'll just be the episode title.
It's so weird because today has been a day for me like that. Like I keep stumbling upon these turns of phrase. One that I read this morning was, so you want to tongue punch my fart box. And I laughed so hard at that, I nearly pissed myself.
Oh my God, morning. I know that from somewhere.
I saw it on Tumblr, and I'm like, that's the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my fucking life.
That's from a movie. I swear to God, that's from a movie. Google that shit. You'll
I'm
find
gonna do
the
it,
origin.
I'm gonna do it right now.
I know I've heard that before.
Tongue punch a fart box. Oh, there it is. Origin. Where is it? Adam Scott, dude. For what movie? Step Brothers.
Brothers. Okay. Yeah.
Adam Scott. Oh, Adam Scott. That's, we love you. God.
Right. I don't like Step Brothers, but yeah, that's.
Well, give me Adam Scott any day, though. I'll take him in any form. But that's fucking brilliant. I hadn't seen Step Brothers. I know I'm one of those people, but it's not in my. I like Will Ferrell. I like John C. Reilly. But it was like of those kind of fratty old school kind
it's
of just, movies.
It's shrill. It's very shrill. It's just very shrill.
It's like people who obsess over Tommy Boy. I never got it. I never gave a shit. But I was like, you know what? At least you're laughing at something. If somebody likes comedy, that's great.
You know what? Tommy Boy could be such a great movie if the wrong people didn't like it.
Oh my God. You know what you can't say that about? Billy fucking Madison. Because that movie's shit. And I don't care what
garbage.
You say.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
There are elements of Tommy Boy that are just timeless. Like, that guy in a little coat is a timeless funny joke. It just is.
You can have you can have a sense of humor. You can have a taste in humor. But sometimes it's those people that just glom onto something just because but then they become that. That's part of their personality is, mm-hmm. is just quoting movies like Tommy Boy and Billy Madison and Step Brothers. And to me, it's like I divorced myself from that, or actually it divorced from me because I was such a horrible woman. So, and that's fine.
I don't have a personality. I'm just quotes from Billy Madison. Yeah.
Next, let's rip apart the fans of Little Nicky. Let's do that next.
Bob's got a whole thing where like he can appreciate what Star Wars is, but he hates Star Wars fandom so much that he can't. The Star Wars fandom just makes it impossible for him to enjoy Star Wars.
So I'm assuming Jeff's like, well, fuck you then. Well, no, but no, because like, I think Jeff
and Josh are like two of our, you know, our favorite human beings, and
right.
They don't represent the kind of fans that Bob hates.
No. Wait, so we wouldn't put Drew in that kind of a Star Wars fandom,
oh, no,
would
no.
we?
Okay, no, okay. Absolutely not, no.
This is people who care about the movies. They actually genuinely...
No, the people who suck about Star Wars are people who are like, it's the greatest movie ever made, and like they won't shut up about it. But also there's like that group of fans that just like hate anything that isn't Star Wars.
Right.
And they're like really snobby to people who don't like Star Wars.
Oh, I see.
Those are the assholes. Those are the ones who ruin it for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, you know what? There's too many people that ruin things for people.
When your entire personality is just, I like Star Wars, that's a problem.
That's a problem. Yeah,
vary your world a little bit.
That's a Disney adult right there.
See, Josh loves Aliens. He loves Star Wars. He loves Lord of the Rings. He's got varied interests. Varied interests. Yes, he can quote the Star Wars books to you. Yes. That's a problem. Cool. That's a problem.
Well, okay.
But he has a variety of things that he loves. There are people out there, though, whose just entire personality is Star Wars. And that's a problem.
Okay, because I got scared because, like, I did just make my big Paul Rudd 22nd year birthday post yesterday, and
but you have other interests other than Paul Rudd.
I do, but he has been my mainstay since I was 16. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. like, I mean, but he
you do you no do Paul have Rudd like a kind of a hyper fandom thing that you do that
I stick with it though, don't I? I don't let them go. I stick with it. I have, you know what I do? Because I chose to live a solitary life. I have made the decision that the things that I love, and you and I both know, because it comes from high fidelity.
Yeah.
Books, music, movies, these things matter. And to me, I'm more of that kind of a person than I am. I really want to settle down, have children and get married. I was always that person.
It's like you're in a convent and the God is like Paul Rudd, and then there are like various different saints, like Steve Martin,
Bill Hicks,
Robert Sheehan,
REM.
Like the text that you read is like REM or the Umbrella Academy, and you're like a religious scholar, like your job, like you've dedicated your life to interpreting these texts over and over.
I'm like Aristotle or no. Archimedes.
And that's with a vagina. Okay. That's okay.
You know what? I can't afford therapy, Sean, so this is all I got. Thanks, live American
your,
Health System.
Live your truth. Live your truth.
Oh, I look at my truth, and it's a living room full of magazines and books. It's really sad. But anyway. Yeah, so, okay, overall, we're not recommending either one of these fucking movies.
No, they both suck. Like they both suck. Like Leprechaun, after the guy, you know, motorboats along.
Fuck. It's all downhill from there.
It's all downhill from there. Like it's just there's nothing fun or playful or exciting. Like, you know, Warwick Davis is doing his Warwick Davis thing. You know, that's about it. The rest of the cast just isn't any good. There's no real there's nothing to root for. There's nothing to get excited about. It's just not fun. It's not pleasant.
The only good thing
about it is it's 85 minutes long.
Okay. Well, can I share with you? I have to come clean. I dipped. I had 20 minutes left and I dipped. I'm like, let's just get the podcast on the road. I don't want to sit through this any fucking more. I can't do it anymore. Even though, I mean, I was fine with Uncle Morty. I fucking can't. So I don't know what happened. Did Uncle Morty die?
Yeah. He died. Yeah.
He tried
one of his big plays where he's like, he tries to make three wishes once they've got the leprechaun inside the safe, and the leprechaun plays him and blows him up. I've got to tell you about the backstory. So, the backstory of Leprechaun 2 is fucking insane. They had like three different scripts that they worked from, and all of them had like Ian as a main character. Ian was going to be the third lead in this movie instead of Morty.
No way.
And so like Ian was had this whole plot where he was in a love triangle with Cody and Bridget, and like trying to win Bridget over. And there's this character named Lyle and a character named Mandy who are also going to be in the movie. They were like waiting there at the go-kart track for them. They got completely cut out of the movie.
Oh.
Like the whole plot was supposed to be all of them working together to fight the leprechaun instead of just Cody and Morty. And they started making the movie and like, just cut that out, get that out, throw that out.
Could you imagine being one of those actors and going, well, it's on my CV, but you're not going to find me anywhere. I did get paid though. I did get paid.
I wonder if Mandy is actually in the credits. She's not. She's not. Her and Lyle are not in the credits.
That's so funny. Like I always had this daydream, like since 2004, if I ever made a movie, I was going to have the same actors in it all the time. And even if they couldn't appear in the film, I was still going to put them in the credits just because I just always wanted them there. So I had this lore in my head that I've made all these films in my fantasy life. And Matt Berry's in all of it, but he wasn't featured in one film, but he was still credited as a character in the film. I don't know why. I love shit like that. I love it. If you didn't make it, but you still get credited for it. I think I think
that's against SAG.
I don't care. I'm not in SAG. I'm not there. If this were real, this would not be a thing. This is my fantasy world. Fantasy world. Oh, by the way, I'm excited about this because you think about it. Our first foray into this podcast, we got to watch the first Leprechaun with Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
Then we get this again, another atrocity. Although Leprechaun 1, actually, I think I enjoyed.
I mean, it wasn't nearly, it was kind of weird. It was bad in a fun way. This isn't bad in a fun way. This is just bad.
But here's
the thing. They tried to get Jennifer Aniston back. She said no.
And you know what? I feel like she had better things to do.
She had just started Friends and she wanted to focus on that. They were willing to pay her and like move the schedule around to make it available for her, and she still said no.
Yeah, which was a good decision. A good decision on her part. But here's the thing, folks. When we go into 1995, we have Leprechaun 3, and I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be horrible.
It'll be a choice. We'd have to choose to watch that because it's not a theatrical release.
Oh, but we have to. We have to.
Now you're part of it. It's part of your completionist now. You've got
to. Well, dude, I need to make it up to fucking Leprechaun of the Hood. If we don't do that. And that goes to 2000. So like we're going to have to do this for a long fucking time.
Long fucking time.
Oh, we signed our lives away. What?
We might actually watch a good movie next week.
Fuck you.
It's possible. It's possible that we could watch a good movie.
Okay. If so what are my options?
Like, if this hasn't like aged poorly in the last 30 years, we could be watching Four Weddings and a Funeral next.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
So you want to watch it?
Oh, fuck, yes, I do.
It'll be such a test for us to actually watch a good movie.
It's Richard Curtis, dude. I mean, you can't go wrong. That fucking man, Richard Curtis. I'm sorry. I don't care. I think the last time I saw it, I think I rented it about 2 years ago, just because I was in the mood. And I'm like, I just want to see Andy McDowell with that hair and Hugh Grant with that hair and everybody with the hair. And it's such a great fucking cast. The only thing that sucked was the soundtrack. But I mean, aside from that, it's a good movie.
I've had a struggle with the movie ever since Family Guy just completely took the piss out of it years ago with Hugh Grant. And The Simpsons did it too, where they had a Hugh Grant character and they just totally took the piss out of it. So I'll be interested to see if I can get past that in my head.
Bob's Burgers did it too. I mean, I think a lot of our best animated shows have done it. And you know what? I'm fine with that. And you know, I think of Hugh Grant, and they had they animated him with a really toothy mouth, and he's just like, I'm so charmingly befuddled, and the way that he's it's so good with the floppy hair. And but yeah, Hugh Grant is such a gifted fucking actor, and this movie will still, even if it looks older to us, which of course it's going to look like the 70s did to us in the 90s, it's still...
Hopefully MJ will be back for this one and we can actually show them that the 90s wasn't a hellscape.
Oh my God.
Not a complete hellscape.
Fuzzy just needs a good seeing to with a decent film. That's all. Yeah. That's all.
Well, hopefully.
We are really letting him down big time.
we're out of time, but thank you, Amy.
Yeah.
The recording ends in 68 minutes.
Ah.
All right. See ya.
Bye.